Welcome to the SBP podcast, the voice of mobile film. I'm your host, Susie Botello, and guess what? You're listening to episode 42. Our guest this episode is Graham Cochrane of Recording Revolution. You may have heard of him because he runs the Recording Revolution program that helps musicians record and compose their music to professional levels. But you may be wondering, what does that have to do with mobile filmmaking? Well, film incorporates not only good visuals, but also good audio. And you may have heard that good audio is extremely important to film and video. But what about music? What if you are not legally savvy in the process of copyrights and music licensing, and you're searching for music for your mobile film? What if you don't know any bands or are too shy to even approach bands and ask them to allow you to use their music in your film? Well, our guest has proved that you can create great music, specifically songs, using your iPhone with the free iPhone version of GarageBand. And GarageBand is free and available to iPhone users right now. He actually made a song, an entire song, and it's a good song, by the way. Now, I really enjoyed talking to Graham because he's a professional who understands audio and music. He's very inspiring because he will inspire you just like he inspires all his listeners to record their music without costly gear and equipment, a big sound studio, recording studio. And they do it in a simple recording studio, which you can create at home on a very low budget. Graham is going to share how he created an entire, I think, awesome song with his iPhone and how you can do it too. Maybe you already made a smartphone movie and it just so happens to be between 1 and 5 minutes in length. Well, if that's the case, don't miss the deadline to submit it to the International Mobile Film Festival, which takes place in San Diego, April 27th and 28th. The deadline is November 19th, and you can submit it on internationalmobilefilmfestival.com, which is the website. Or you can do this. Type on your browser, sbp.cc, and it'll take you directly to the website. If you want to visit Graham Cochrane's website, go to recordingrevolution.com. Or you can follow him on Facebook at Recording Revolution. So, are you ready to talk music? Come with me and let's talk to Graham Cochrane. Hey, everybody. I've got a very special guest here today. His name is, I got an idea. Instead of me introducing our guest, I'll let our guest introduce himself. He is in Florida. He's in Tampa right now. And this is a very special guest, enlightening mobile filmmakers in a way that we don't usually do, but I think this is fantastic. So drum roll, please.
Hey, everyone. The name's Graham Cochrane, and I'm honored to be here.
Graham, share with our listeners. Now, I want to share with our listeners one little quick thing. Yeah. You're a musician, you're an artist, and you took a challenge to create and produce an entire song, a very awesome song, I think, using nothing but an iPhone, using GarageBand, and you didn't even use an external microphone. But before we go there, this is just sort of a heads up for our listeners. But before we go there, why don't you share with everyone a little bit about you?
Yeah, so I'm a musician, like you said, first, and that got me into wanting to record my music and create. Basically, I grew up around the time computer recording was becoming a thing, so it was good timing that I was able to play around, and that got me into production, which is a lot like film production and post-production for photography. It's a lot of, you know, you record it or you produce it or you capture it, and then there's the post-production. And I enjoyed both processes of that kind of thing, of playing around with how could I make something sound really good. And got into engineering and producing records for bands and producing my own music as an artist. And then these days, the last 9 years now, I've run a resource called The Recording Revolution. And I started it for my friends who were musicians who had the same questions that I'm sure many of your friends have, only in the filmmaking side of things, which is what equipment do I need and how do I use it to get a really professional result? And so on the music side of things, that's what I teach people how to do, generally with, you know, professional equipment. But it's, gosh, the price for stuff these days is super cheap. And so I spend a lot of my time making videos and training and teaching people how to basically create the music that they hear in their head.
And, you know, one of the things that you do is, so you have all this, I mean, you have massive gear from what I saw in your video, right?
Yeah, I've collected a lot over the years.
Yeah. And so, but how did this challenge come about for you to just go ahead and forget all that for a day or something, right? And use your phone.
Yeah, well, so there's the lie out there in the audio world, and I'm guessing it's probably very similar in a lot of ways in the film world, is that you have to have really expensive gear to get a professional result. And I didn't have any money growing up to buy all the professional stuff, so I learned on whatever I could get my hands on, and I was fortunate to work with some nice equipment that I didn't own in nice studios, but I know what it's like to be on a budget. And what's happened is that there's been a radical change in the quality of equipment, and computers have changed everything. Software, like you mentioned, GarageBand, which can come free on your phone these days, can do stuff that software that costs thousands and thousands of dollars couldn't do 10, 15 years ago, which is crazy. So it is possible to do a lot with a little. And I'm always trying to prove that to my audience. I'll do challenges from time to time where I'll buy, you know, $500 worth of equipment and make a song on it, or $350 worth of equipment and make a song on it. And one day a friend of mine was like, well, dude, can you just make a song with just your iPhone? And not, like you said, not plug in any external microphones. If I just only had an iPhone, I didn't have any software, I don't have a computer, I don't have a microphone, and what could I do something with that? Because it has a microphone built into it, obviously. And so that was my challenge, was could I use, you know, loops in GarageBand and sing into the phone and put the phone up to my guitar amp and put it up to my acoustic guitar and, you know, play a tambourine into it, like things like that. Could I make a record with just my phone? And I didn't know, I knew I could physically do something. I didn't know if I could get it to sound good. And so that was my challenge. I thought if I could prove to people that you could do it on an iPhone, then the excuses will be gone. And then I think that would motivate people to just go out there and make music.
And so when you were creating your video, because obviously the video is not like this live stream or anything like that, but you did put it together. But you were basically, what you did put together and how you edited this was really the entire experiment, right?
Right. So live stream would have just been a really long video because it took some time. So what I wanted to do was make a condensed video that showed where I was placing the phone while I was performing it. So I put up my camera and filmed myself singing into the microphone, so you could see literally how I sang the vocal that you're hearing, you know, and then where I put it in front of my guitar and how I tapped in the drum beat on the screen in GarageBand. And then some of the things I was doing with the sort of effects after the fact of post-production to make it sound good and let you hear the raw audio coming off the phone, so you could hear what I'm hearing but see what I'm doing to get it. And I decided just to do it in a tighter edit, sort of like a music video where it's to the song, as it were, just so it's not boring and drawn out. But it did take, you know, it took me, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours of sitting around in my studio one day just doing it. So a lot of it was experimenting with sounds and trying things. But in the end, that's exactly what I did to get the sounds, and it showed people that, hey, this is possible.
What I want to get back to this too for our listeners, about some really awesome tips that you can give, because you mentioned the process is really important on this. And if you have a process, just about anybody can do this. But I want to talk a little bit about the company that you have. I want you to share that with our listeners, because I think that what your business does can actually be very helpful to them as well.
What element of it are you most interested in?
Well, for example, let's say some of our listeners are saying, you know what, I still don't feel comfortable doing this just based on this podcast, but I want to reach out to Graham and see what services he has and what he has available for me.
Got it. So what I would steer you to is I have a bunch of free resources. I mean, I try to put out so much free stuff that it's silly. So there's on recordingrevolution.com, I mean, you can just Google it or go to YouTube, but on the site, recordingrevolution.com, I've got a bunch of free guides, and there are many video series that you can watch. They have sort of like PDF checklist homework that goes along with them on how to put together a home studio. Like, what equipment do you need and how can you do it for under $300, you know, if you wanted to actually buy some professional equipment, you could put together a whole studio for under $300, which is insane. How to use it? How do you record a song from scratch? You know, if you wanted to create some background music for one of your films, like, how would you record that stuff from scratch? And then how would you do the post-production? We call that mixing in music. How would we mix that song so it sounds like what you hear on the radio or sounds commercially viable? And I've got a whole mini series on all of those topics that I think is a great starting point for you, because you can, it's for beginners. It points you into, you know, the right direction of literally what to buy, how to use it, what to think about doing. Even if you can't spend that amount of money, then do this over here. And it'll get you in the mindset of how I think about recording and producing music. And if you're coming from the film world, there's a process, like you said, there's a process there. And I think there's so many cool parallels between what you do and what I do that I think a lot of the film people can grasp the audio production a lot faster than many musicians do, because they don't understand the process of producing something digitally and going from capturing that source to, you know, post-production. So I think a lot of your listeners will catch on quickly.
Do you think someone has to be talented as a musician? Do they need to really learn how to play instruments?
It depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to be an artist, which a lot of my fan base is, then yes, talent is key. It's the most important thing. If you're just trying to create some cool background tracks or some music, like, you know, a lot of people are using GarageBand or something to create the music for, you know, you said your podcast, plenty of people are doing that. There's built-in loops that are professionally recorded that are so nuance that you can drag and drop and mix and match and actually create really compelling performances that you didn't have to play anything, which is great for someone like me, because I actually only play guitar, bass, and then I sing. So I can handle the guitar, but I can't play piano. I can't play drums. I can't play organ. So I can fake my way on some of those things, but I can move a lot quicker if I drag in these loops. And there's so many what we call virtual performers these days, that you can get virtual drummers and virtual keyboard players. And these little programs that you can basically create whole performances with a couple of clicks. And you don't even have to sing or play anything. You can put together an entire production that could be a great backing track very quickly. And the good thing is back in the day, all of this software was very technical.
Yeah.
And it was all made by, you know, very smart people that were making it for other very smart people. They weren't thought like musicians. They weren't made for musicians or creatives. And nowadays, programs like GarageBand and its Big Brother Logic and a lot of these programs are a lot more musician-centric, meaning they're a lot more creative right brain-centric, which I appreciate because I'm not a very technical person. I know what I do is technically technical, but I don't view it that way. I view it as art. I'm just trying to make cool stuff sound cool together. So GarageBand is very intuitive, and it's a free program on a Mac. It comes on the iPhone. You can start just dragging and dropping. And I think between just the intuitive nature of it and some of my free resources, I think you'll be able to get it very quickly.
That's actually, I think, the key word right there, the intuitive part of it, because that happens a lot with mobile film. I was just talking to one a friend who's starting to do mobile filmmaking. And he says, well, I'm a filmmaker, but I'm basically behind the camera. I write, I direct, you know. I don't do editing. And I'm like, well, what do you mean you don't do editing? He says, I'm not an editor. I don't know how to do that. He didn't say he was scared of it. He just was very hands off of it. And I can understand that because in the film world, a lot of people, they play their parts, you know, and they have a team and they do everything, but that can be limited for a mobile film, you know? And so I was telling him how easy it is to, you know, just open iMovie on your phone. And if you can drag and click and slide, you know, it sounds like a song, right? Do the drag, the click and the slide.
Yeah.
If you can do that, then you can edit something. Everything else is your creative mind structuring things and putting things over things and having a little bit of a vision as you're going along, at least, right?
Absolutely. And what you just described is kind of the future, right? Is I know they're specialists and I'm not against people specializing and I have a lot of respect for people who that's their craft. So if like you're a film editor for Hollywood, like that is a craft. But at the same time, technology has democratized many of these art forms, music, film, photography. And that's both good and bad. The cynic in us says it's bad because now everybody can make a record and everyone can try to be Taylor Swift and everyone can make a movie on their phone. And so there's going to be a lot of bad music being made and a lot of bad films being made, which is true because there's just more music being made and more films being made. But I think it's actually better because the tools are now at a place where it is democratized so that there's no gatekeeper anymore. If you even have $100, you can scrounge up $100, you can get into this game and start producing your own music or your own films. And that's amazing because now it really comes down to, are you talented? Do you have a story to tell? Do you have a song to share? Do you have a message that connects with another human? And to me, that's the ultimate in fairness, giving everyone an opportunity to create what they hear in their head, even if it's not to create a career or to make money, but just to have the satisfaction of creating. It was just so fun, right? We've been doing it since we were kids, drawing, making silly songs, putting on performances. We like to create because I think we're designed by God to create. So it's like, dude, the tools are now in front of everybody. And I think what that means for us, if you're going to go in a professional area, is like you're telling your friend, learn to do all the tasks. If you're a director, learn to edit, learn to be a cinematographer, learn post-production and color correction and learn how to do sound, because you don't have to be the best at it, but you can get pretty far on your own. And I think it's more fun if you do it that way. And even if you end up outsourcing certain elements, it's good to know how to do it because it helps you really communicate with the other people who specialize in that area, because you can know the lingo and how they edit. And you can say, you know what, I really enjoy edits that are like this. And then they can say, okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think it's empowering to be able to do a lot of things, even if you don't want to do all of them all the time.
Well, yeah. And it also, that's the power right there where you're creating things and you're accomplishing things. And that accomplishment, you know, just like with kids, the more they accomplish, the more confidence that it builds to go move to the next step and to get better at something, right?
Absolutely. And that's so much of what you can do now is in the music space, and I'm sure it's the same in film, the ticket to enter this game, you know, you have to drop $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 to have enough equipment to even try your hand at recording and mixing music 20 years ago. And that's a big barrier to entry for a lot of people, right? So they were like, forget it, I'll never be able to do it. Now, if you have your iPhone, or if you have $150. I did a whole video on how you can put together a whole home studio for $150.
That's amazing.
It's insane. Yeah, it's insane. I did a whole song with this setup, so you could watch that too and listen to what that sounds like. If you have $150, you can at least try it. You can try it out and see if you like it. That's amazing because there's plenty of people. You know, you said before we went on the recording, I think, that you got 80-year-olds and 90-year-olds, you know, making films. It's the same way. I get emails every week from retirees who are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, who are saying, you know what, I did a whole career in manufacturing or I was a school teacher or whatever, but now I've got the time and I just spent a couple $100s on my little home studio and I'm making records and writing songs and releasing them on Spotify and having the time of my life.
That's
because
awesome.
They can. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what's also really cool about that, not to get a little whatever, a little soft or whatever, but it just tickles my stomach right now hearing you saying that, because that's what happens to me when I see, like, for example, last year on the red carpet, we had a 12-year-old and an 83-year-old, you know, along with other people from different parts of the world and locals, all sharing the same experience. And so what you're telling me too from these people, it brings them back into our society in a way. And now we're all connecting on a level that we're all the same, because they're on Spotify, they're creating things. And I just think it's awesome, the place where we're in, where we can do this. And it does help people connect through art.
Absolutely. It really is the most exciting time to be a creative in the history of the world, because the tools to both create the art and then distribute the art to the rest of the world are virtually free. If not free, then they're super cheap and accessible to all. So it's a pretty cool time.
Yeah. So give everybody your website address again really quick before we go into this other part.
Yeah, it's all at recordingrevolution.com.
And also you have a Twitter for that, right, as well?
Yep, at Recording Rev.
Okay, cool. I'm going to put the links and everything on the notes for everybody, and we'll write an article as well. But I just wanted to, you know, don't expect people to pull over and start clicking on things.
Please keep your hands on the wheel and right? Keep your eyes on the road if you're driving, yes.
So what I wanted to do is I wanted to share with our listeners this little bit I think would really benefit them, sort of like almost like a hands-on through a podcast, sort of. Let's see how well we do on that. They'll let us know, right?
Yeah.
So let's say that some of our listeners want to get started, like right now, not, you know, well, maybe they will pull over. Go ahead, you know, if there's a place to pull over. But they want to score their film, or they want to just create a song, and they've got GarageBand on their iPhone. Now, I would tell them there's a specific things to do. Like, for one thing, I would say, you know, make sure you're in a quiet environment, that you set your phone to airplane mode so that nothing is interrupting your recording session. Make sure you have enough space on your phone and close all your other apps. But in addition to that, what would you advise? A few steps.
Yeah, those are some great steps. Where you record matters in a lot of ways, because let's say you are just actually trying to capture something with the built-in microphone in your iPhone. It's a very sensitive microphone, which is one reason why it can sound so good. But it also can be very noisy. So it will pick up, and most studio microphones in general that you purchase, if you're in a little bedroom, which many of my listeners and followers are, it'll pick up the lawnmower outside or the traffic outside or your kid crying in the other room. It's just life. It's hard. A lot of people end up making music at night when everyone's asleep and they try to work around it. So it's very similar in the sense that, you know, you have to work around other people, but the sound is what matters, as opposed to, let's say, like, my wife's a photographer, and, you know, she could work any time of day, you know, as long if even if there's noise, but the light has to be right if she's doing natural light stuff. If it's cloudy day or, you know, all that kind of stuff, then that ruins it. Whereas the lighting doesn't matter to us, right? So quiet environment is ideal. But here's something that I think will help a lot of people out, especially if you're just tinkering around with, let's say, GarageBand on your phone or any program, and you're dragging in some loops and you're trying to score some basic stuff for your film. A lot of times we don't know where to start or how things should sound. And a big trick that we use, even in the professional audio space, is something called referencing. And I think it's probably similar in film when you're trying to do post-production, or even beforehand. But what we do is we listen to professional mixes. Like, if you're making a pop track, you'd listen to Taylor Swift. You'd open it up, take a listen on your headphones or your own speakers, and you go, that's what a good pop mix song sounds like, you know, in this room on these speakers. And so it gives you a point of reference for, you know, how loud her vocal is or how bright the guitars sound or how loud the drums are. And it kind of informs your decision making. Not that you're copying, but it's giving you a ballpark that you can come play in to make sure you're not completely off. And so I would say, do something similar. Pull up some scores of films, you know, listen to something else that's similar, if you're trying to make a jazzy piece in the background, listen to some kind of jazzy piece. If it's very orchestral, listen to something orchestral to give you inspiration of like, oh, you're all right. I probably need a little bit more lower instrumentation, you know, to fill out the what we call the low end, or, you know, those effects on the string sound pretty cool. Maybe I can do something similar in GarageBand on mine. And you'll never end up with exactly the same thing, but it's a great teaching tool. If you don't know where to start and you don't know what you're doing, is listen to another really good score and then try to either recreate it or make your own, but have similar elements to it. It'll make sure that what you are creating in GarageBand isn't completely off base and won't sound professional.
That's exactly the advice that and we've done it in previous podcasts with different guests, that we've said to people too. Watch films. And if you see something that you like and you want to recreate it, you know, putting your own signature per se on that, to try it. And it's a motivator, isn't it?
It is. And it also is it's a humbling thing, because I think all of us creatives have really bad long-term memory. Like, we think we know what a good film looks like, you know, but how well do we know? Like, we've seen a movie a million times, but the small details of where the cut was, or really how dark it was, you know, color graded or whatever it is, we don't remember exactly. Same thing with music. I can listen to a record top to bottom a million times, but I will think that maybe the drums are, you know, really louder than they are. Actually, when I listen back, they're actually a lot quieter than I thought. So I really can't trust my memory is what I'm saying. So I always pull in tracks, other songs that are comparable to what I'm creating, and listen to them at the beginning and middle and end of the process to remind my ears what is right and what I like, because I actually forget. And I think it's probably the same with making films.
Yeah. It's almost like when you're tuning your guitar, right? Using a tuner.
Yeah, you got to retune. You got to come back to what's true. You can't just trust what you think it sounds like. You got to go back to the source. And you're never copying. I have a lot of people that are like, well, I don't want to copy. I want to be original. I'm totally different. And first of all, I don't think anyone's totally original and different. We're all influenced, and I think that's okay. But I understand what they're saying. I actually think the opposite is true. I think what you just said is like, watch so many films as much as you can. I would say listen to as much music as you can. It only makes you a better creative. You'll never 100% copy, because you are trying to do your own thing, your own signature, but it actually will make you more effective, because you'll have more in the data banks to pull from to make better sounding recordings and better looking films.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I tell people, I don't know if you know this, Graham, but you know that old story from back in the day, Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, yes. Okay. Heard of it.
Well, have you heard of the Titanic?
Oh, yes.
It's basically the same story.
The same thing, yeah.
So is Pocahontas.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that. So what would be the first step would be to get in a quiet environment, and then to obviously come there with this history and to be prepared to go back to listening to more songs, just to sort of remind you of what your goal is, I suppose, right?
Yep. To listen to, like if you're listening to a similar song and learn, oh, it sounds like they have some drums and they have a piano, and they have, it reminds you, maybe I'll have drums and a piano, and maybe I'll have them at similar levels. It informs you what to record and what levels they should sound like. Right.
Right.
I think then really where, and if you saw the iPhone video I did, a lot of it, I recorded it as best I could into the phone. And then I pulled some loops I banged out some drum beats and a fake bass guitar. They have a really cool bass guitar app where you can touch the fake fretboard, and it's a sample of an electric bass, and actually sounded pretty good. I was really surprised. It has the slides and the movement. It sounds like a real finger moving up and down. After that, though, one of the biggest tools that you have in music production to enhance the recording is something called EQ, which stands for equalizer. And I'm wondering if a similar thing in film or post-production would be, you know, like a combination of exposure and color. You know, you got sort of the color grades, and you cool it down or warm it up, and it's like all of that kind of combined. You can bring out highlights and lowlights and the shadow levels, and so it's think of it like that. It's, and you know, in a car radio, you got bass and treble. We understand that. It's basically that, but on steroids, where you have a lot more control on the each each of the individual elements. So I can take the bass guitar, let's say, and I can adjust individual, we call them, you know, frequencies, audio frequencies, like you have, you know, color frequencies and light. We can adjust those and make it a little more bass heavy or a little brighter or a little duller, or stick out in a certain frequency that we notice it a bit more on smaller speakers. And so you can fine tune each instrument one at a time with an EQ on every single track. On the piano, we can sculpt what that sounds like, and the strings. And so that is where a lot of the post-production in music is won or lost, is using EQ well. And so I have another free guide on the website there on how to handle EQ and how to understand EQ as a tool, because that's like your biggest post-production tool in music. And so I think GarageBand comes with an amazing EQ that's just as powerful as the one in my professional software called Pro Tools, which is kind of like the Photoshop or the Final Cut or the whatever you're using. Yeah. The one in GarageBand is amazing. It does everything you need it to do. And that's what I did on that iPhone song, is I had to go and then EQ everything and balance it so that everything plays nice and you can hear everything clearly even better. So that's probably the most important tool to learn, I think, in the audio space.
Yeah, in the video and film, that's actually color grading. It's sort of that same concept.
There you go.
And I wanted to bring something up with you. When you were recording your voice, how did you? I mean, did you have to manipulate it? Did you have to fix a lot of it? I mean, I noticed that you have a little bit of echo and things like that, mm-hmm. which made it sound sort of 80s, you know, too. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend people as far as recording? Like, should they really just attach a microphone? But even if they can't, what's the difference between manipulating, I suppose, voice versus instruments?
Yeah, I mean, not a whole lot of difference. If you don't have them, if you only have your iPhone, I would say it's totally possible to sing into it. There's the human voice, the other tool, if EQ, let's say, is the most important tool in audio, the other most important tool is what we call compression. And that kind of is like it kind of monitors the level, the volume of things. So like the human voice is very, we would say, dynamic. It can be loud for 1 second, quiet for another. Even if you're singing at the same volume, if you just change the syllable, if you sing an ah or an o, those are going to be louder than an e or an oo, just by the nature of your mouth opening up and more air coming out. So it's actually really hard to hear the human voice on top of an orchestra or a rock band or a drum beat and a piano. You'll hear some words fine, and then some words will disappear a little bit and get swallowed up. And so to hear the human voice perfectly clearly in a recording like you do in any music out there, it's gone through what's called compression. A compressor is constantly turning it up or down and trying to even out that level so that what's presented to the listener is sounds nice and clear and upfront. But that's not how the human voice actually sounds in real life. But it's the way we like to hear it. And it's actually very useful to present it that way. So I had to use compression on my voice because, you know, the microphone and the iPhone is going to pick me up loud or soft. It's going to be all over the place. But a compressor really kind of contains my voice and makes it sound like it's in one place, nice and upfront. And other than that, you treat it like anything else, EQ to kind of clear it up and make it sound, you know, bright enough and full enough, but not muffled, maybe clear out some of the bad sound in my room. And then you mentioned echo, we call that delay, reverb, other effects that make it sound like maybe I'm in a larger space than I really was, as you know, in my little room here. But really the trick to vocals, whether you use an external microphone or not, and if you listen to any professional, you know, pop, you know, modern song with a singer, the little trick of it is, it's just like with film, like that wasn't one performance, you know, mm-hmm. it was a compilation. We call it a vocal comp. Okay. So if you listen to anyone singing, generally speaking, I didn't do that with mine. I just had to sing it straight, cause I actually don't know how to edit very fast in GarageBand. So I was like, I'll just sing it well, as best I can, one take. But generally a singer will come in and sing anywhere from 3 to 10 or more takes. And then they will edit together the best verse one and the best verse two or the best word or the best syllable of this one thing. And what you hear on the radio is a an edit, basically a master edit of the best parts of everything they sang. And it sounds seamless, like one take, but it really isn't. And that's the best way to get the perfect vocal recording, is really to compile the best parts. And so I'm sure it's very similar in film.
Yeah, well, most definitely. It's sort of the difference between a live performance from a musician and a live performance in a theater of a play, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
So, okay, I do want to play a little game with you.
Okay, all right.
And this little game, we do this with everyone. So, you know, we just abuse everybody, I guess, and put them on the spot.
Great.
Your game is, it's called a shout out game. And so we're going to give you, I'm used to saying we so much. I'm going to give you 20 seconds to shout out all your favorite bands or musicians that you can within 20 seconds. Okay.
All right.
You accept this mission?
I accept.
All right. Are you ready? Get set. Go.
All right. Soundgarden with Chris Cornell, Stone Temple Pilots, Rush, Pat Metheny. Let's see. Foo Fighters, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Thrice, Colony House. Oh, man.
Wow. And you know what? We should hang out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot about somebody when they mention the bands they like or the music they like.
You know, we had it right in high school when the first question you ask someone who's potentially going to be your friend is like, what music do you like?
There you go. Exactly.
It's like the big test, right?
Yep.
I love it. Well, okay. So now the last thing that I want to ask you is, coming from your world as a human being, as an artist, as someone who inspires people to follow their dreams, for our mobile filmmakers who really are, you know, they're entering this field of, I've got this dream to make a movie. I've never stepped into school. I don't really know what I'm doing, but you know what? Graham gave me some advice and he said, what would you say?
Oh, I would say don't quit. And I know that's cliche, but you know that great Ira Glass quote where he talks about the frustration of not being able to create what you envision in your mind. It doesn't come out the way you envision it, which is the way all of us feel. Your first film, it probably looks awful. You know, my first song sounded awful when I recorded it. The only way to get good, he says, and I think anyone who's successful would agree, is you have to do a large body of work. You really, really do. And unfortunately, in our you know, microwave environment, we want everything to come quickly and easily to us. But the good thing is that you can learn this. If you have a creative mind, if you have good ideas, then you can learn the technical stuff and you can actually create films or create music that is up to the standard that you hear in your head. It just will take you time. So I view it as both encouraging to know that it's possible. You don't have to be special. You just have to hang in there. So that, to me, that's helpful for someone like me. I don't feel like I have a whole lot of extra talent, but I can hang in there and keep doing it. It's discouraging if you want to get good really fast. And I don't promise people that you'll get amazing really fast, but man, it's a lot simpler than you think. Commit to it so that it fits into your life in a regular rhythm, even if your work and family or school, find a way to always dedicate some time to it so that you can, over the months and years, create a large body of work and actually finish projects. Don't tinker with that one film for 3 years. Get it out there and then move on to the next one and the next one. That's actually how you get better, is finishing projects and doing a lot of them over time.
Wow. That's amazing. That's the greatest advice. And that really is true. Definitely don't, because we do hear a lot of the don't, just do it, especially now with Nike, right? Do it, right. Do it. And I've been doing that for years, of course, too. Just do it. But you brought up something that's really interesting too, that I like to share with people. If you don't like it, especially when you're working with your phone, what do? You just delete it and start over,
yeah.
You know? So thank you, Graham. I appreciate your time. I'm sure our listeners are going to get a lot out of this. Is there anything that you feel that we missed that we should, that you should mention?
No, I don't think so. I would say if someone's listening and you're listening to this and you want to take the next step and kind of figure out how do I make music sound really, really good, then I would encourage you to download a bunch of my free guides. In fact, if there's just one you could download, it's one called the Radio Ready Guide, and it's 6 steps to making a radio ready song. So something that's professional quality enough. There's a lot of processes I try to simplify in that. And all of that is there on the website, or you can go to radioreadyguide.com. But I've really put together a lot of resources for you, not to overwhelm you, but just to get your feet wet and just take your time with it. And if you're interested in this, I got a whole bunch of stuff for you that I think you really enjoy. That's absolutely free, and that will get you going in the right direction.
And it's fun, and have some fun.
I hope it's fun. Otherwise, why are we doing it?
Right? Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Say goodbye, Graham.
Thanks for hanging out with us, and thanks, Susie, for having me on.
You're welcome.